The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message. This morning, as we have heard the choir sing and we've sung about the names of the baby born in Bethlehem, we've sung the words Emmanuel. We've sung the word Jesus, the name, Emmanuel, the name, Jesus. We're going to think about those two names a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 will be the, I guess you would say, the main text for this morning. And we've heard most of these words already spoken. Probably most of us could share the story of Christmas without looking at the text. But let's read the text, for the Word of God is very special. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his Mary mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we think about this passage of Scripture, as we think about Christmas, this season of the year that we celebrate the coming, the birth of our Lord and Savior, speak to us this morning through your word and draw us into your presence. Help us to focus just a little bit upon what that text means to us. That your name would be glorified, as the angel said, glory to God in the highest. Amen and amen. You know, we, in our culture, when we name a baby, a lot of times those names do not have a specific meaning behind them. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're family names or names of people that we have love or that we appreciate and honor by naming our child. But a lot of the names that we give our children in our culture are just names, without a whole lot of meaning. But in the Hebrew culture, it was not quite the same idea. For the names that were given a child had special meaning. And they often described either the character of the child or the nature of that child or the hope that the parents had for the child. Hebrew names described and represented the character and the nature of the individual. That's why we frequently see names of individuals being changed as they grow. And they are named according to their character or purpose or intent. Henry Blackaby, in his Experiencing God text, says that we frequently see new names and titles being used for God following a personal experience with Him. Henry Blackaby also goes on in Experiencing God in the appendix to list approximately, and I didn't count them, I guesstimated, approximately 600 names, titles, and descriptions of God. Approximately 600 ways that we get to know God by His name, His title. In our passage of Scripture this morning and in our songs that we sang this morning, we sang two very precious names. Emmanuel and Jesus. So we think about Emmanuel. It's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, Matthew goes on to translate that Hebrew term for the Gentile and other readers. That Emmanuel means God with us. God in human form. Think about it a moment. The God who created all the universe. The God who created everything that there is. The all-powerful God chose to take on human form to be God with us. We see that word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel, and it ends with the two letters E-L, the end of it. The word, Hebrew word El or Elohim is a name for God. And oftentimes you will see names that end with E-L. Michael, for example. Michael is who is like God. Or the name Daniel. Daniel means God is judge. Or God's judge. Samuel. Samuel, God is exalted. So names had a particular meaning, and that E-L on the end of a name related to the name of God. And Emmanuel is God with us. That name occurs three times in the Bible. Twice in the Old Testament in Isaiah, and then here in Matthew. And its significance. Because it means God with us. In Isaiah, we see, among other things, as in the broader text of that prophecy in Isaiah, that in Isaiah 8:10, it talks about the fact that the Hebrew people will be able to stand because God was with them. That the people of God would be protected because God was with them. Isn't it an interesting fact that one of the last words that we have of Jesus, Matthew 28, where He says, "Lo, I am with you always." He is with us. God with us. That prophecy in Isaiah that we find in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. And behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will be call His name Emmanuel." God with us. Jesus' birth showed all of humanity that God is faithful to fulfill His promises in a way far beyond our human experiences and expectations. For Jesus was not just a sign of God with us. Jesus was God with us. Jesus was God in the flesh God incarnate in human form. When we think of Christmas, we think of the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke as the Christmas story is found there. But John, in his way of a mystic way of writing, shares the gospel of the coming of Christ as well. For John begins the gospel by saying this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14 he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Emmanuel, God with us. That wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, which many scholars believe was an early hymn that the church sang, says that Christ, and speaking of Christ in verse 6, it says, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For that reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Emmanuel, God with us. In December of 1959, a newspaper columnist named Lewis Castle wrote a column that appeared in newspapers around the world and has been published many times since, and many times has been read and shared. He entitled his column, "Parable of the Birds." Castle wrote these: "Once upon a time, there was a man who looked upon Christmas as a lot of humbug. He wasn't a Scrooge. He actually was a very kind and decent person, generous to his family, upright in all of his dealings with other men. But he didn't believe all the stuff about an incarnation which churches proclaim at Christmas. And he was too honest to pretend that he did. 'I'm truly sorry to distress you,' he told his wife, who was a faithful churchgoer, 'but I simply cannot understand this claim that God became man. It doesn't make any sense to me.' On Christmas Eve, his wife and children went to church for the midnight service, and he declined the invitation to accompany them. 'I'd feel like a hypocrite,' he explained. 'I'd much rather stay at home, but I'll wait up for you.' Shortly after his family drove away in the car, snow began to fall, and he went to the window and watched the flurries get heavier and heavier. 'If we must have Christmas,' he reflected, 'it's nice to have a white one.' And then he went back to his chair by the fireside and began to read his newspaper. A few minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, quickly followed by another and then another. And he thought, 'Someone must be throwing snowballs at my window.' He went to the front door to investigate, and he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they tried to fly through his window. 'I can't let those poor creatures lie there and freeze,' he thought. 'But how could I help them?' Then he remembered the barn where his children's ponies were stabled. It would provide warm shelter. And he put on his coat and his galoshes and trampled through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the door wide and turned on the light. But the birds didn't come in. Food will bring them in, he thought. So he hurried back to the house for breadcrumbs, and he sprinkled on them on the snow to make a trail into the barn. To his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flop helplessly in the snow. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around and waving his arms. They scattered in every direction except the warm, lighted barn. If only I could be a bird myself for a few minutes, perhaps I could lead them to safety, he thought. And just at that moment, the church bells rang. And he stood silently in the snow, listening to the church bells proclaiming the glad tidings of Christmas. And then he sank to his knees. "Now I understand," he whispered. "Now I see why you had to come." Emmanuel, God with us. We've also looked at the word and the name, the precious name, Jesus. Jesus, that word in Hebrew means God's salvation, or God who saves, or Jehovah saves. You notice the word, the J of Jehovah saves, and Jesus, the Savior. It is a personal name of Jesus, if you will. More than the title of Christ or Messiah or Lord, Jesus was his personal name. And it expressed his humanity. The Greek form of the word of the Hebrew, it is the Greek form of the word of the Hebrew word Joshua. After that word Joshua, and we know, of course, Joshua in the Old Testament who followed Moses and who led the children of Israel into the promised land. The Hebrew pronunciation of that word is something to the effect of Yeshua. Yeshua. And like Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land, Jesus is the Savior who leads us into the promised land. We find that not only in Matthew, but also in Luke's gospel, that the angels appeared to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel said to Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And as we read in Matthew's gospel, where the angel spoke to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus, the one who would save us from our sins. Paul, writing in Romans, says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We all need to be saved from our sin. Paul goes on to write in Romans, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrated his love toward us, that in spite of our sin, he sent his son, Jesus. We needed help because our sins, the wages, Paul says, of our sins is death. The fact that we've committed even one small sin makes us unable to be in God's presence. He writes that same sentence, "For the wages of sin is death." He goes on to say, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God's free gift is eternal life through Jesus, God's salvation. Paul goes on to say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. As we acknowledge the fact that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus, God, our salvation, that Jesus died on Calvary's cross as a sacrifice for our sin, to take the punishment that you and I deserve. And we acknowledge that fact. And we accept his wonderful gift. John in the Gospel writes another marvelous verse, which we could probably all quote. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." Some have said that John 3:16 is the heart of the Bible, the gospel in miniature. Herschel Hobbes puts it this way: it is the gospel of superlatives. It presents the greatest lover, God, the greatest measure of love, so loved, the greatest recipient of love, the world, the greatest utterance of love that he gave, the greatest gift of love, his only begotten Son, the greatest beneficiaries of love, whoever, the greatest answer to love, believes in him. The greatest result of love will have eternal life. It's Christmas time. We're all used to seeing and receiving gifts, giving and receiving of gifts. I've often told the story and asked the question, when is the gift truly yours? When is the gift that someone brings to your home? And they knock on the door and you answer and they hand over this beautiful package to you. What if you looked at that beautiful wrapped package and you said, that's so pretty, beautiful wrapping, beautiful bow. And you take that package and you put it underneath the Christmas tree. Is that package, is that gift yours yet? Well, it's in your home, yes, but is it yours truly? What if you say on December 25th, that package is so pretty, I don't want to open it. Don't want to peel off the wrapping paper and the bow. I'll just let it sit there under the tree. Well, the tree begins to drop its needles and you end up taking the ornaments and lights off and you take the tree out to the curb or to the, dispose of it, and yet that package sits there, beautifully wrapped. Is it yours yet? I propose that it is not yours until you open it. Until you take and unwrap it and pull it out of its box and possess it. It becomes yours. Have you received the greatest gift of all? God's gift of salvation through Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that even in this moment, as we search our hearts, that Lord, that you would speak to us. And if there's one, even one here in this room, who has not received the gift of Jesus, this Christmas season, they would accept him as their Savior and Lord. And Lord, we pray that our hearts of those of us who have received the gift would be so touched and so moved by that gift that we would share the gift of your great love with others so that they too may know Jesus, our salvation, Emmanuel, God with us. We pray all this because we want you to receive glory, even as the angels said, glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.